You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, thanks for tuning in to the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN, your EPN channel for better informing you how to green your business, hear how others have made their business green, startups in the greening industry, and bringing awareness to a green economy and the advantages it brings to your community as a whole. Today we are speaking with Mr. Andrew Logan, the CEO of One Crop, a degradable biofilm company which aims to provide the technology to improve crop yield in an environmentally friendly way. One Crop provides a sophisticated yet cost-effective solution that stores soil moisture and increases soil temperature, ensuring growers can maximize the productivity of their farming business. Certainly looking forward to hearing all the details. And Mr. Logan, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Eric, good morning. It's great to be here.
Yes, good morning to you, and thanks for coming out to be with us here today. So for starters, get into what is One Crop and tell us a little bit about your team and what is it that you do.
So One Crop is an Australian company. And we make a degradable mulch film for row crops, particularly cotton and corn. So there are other degradable mulch films out there, but they generally tend to focus on small-scale operations like horticulture. Our focus is on big-scale, broad-acre commercial farming in China, the USA, and Australia. And as I say, predominantly cotton and corn crops are our main focus at the moment. They're two really big industries, and you know, we think we've got our work cut out for us just handling those two crops. So our team is fairly diverse, and we're probably unique in the sense that we're a completely remote working team. We don't have a central office. I work from a town called Orange, which is about 3 hours west of Sydney in New South Wales, Australia. We also have a founder in Adelaide, another founder in Brisbane. We have investors in Sydney, Melbourne, Singapore, who sit on our board and give us advice. I have a CFO who is in a little town called Warren, which is right in the cotton belt in the middle of Australia. So we work remotely but seamlessly, and do quite a bit of travel. Speaking to you at the moment from Clear Lake in Iowa, USA. So we're a truly global operation based in Australia.
Tell us, what problem does One Crop exist to solve?
Well, I guess the central problem that we exist to solve is this global problem of how to grow more with less. And when I say grow more, I mean how do we increase yields on the same amount of land with the same amount of inputs or less inputs, particularly around things like fertilizers and herbicides, which have ultimately a toxic effect on the environment. Our big focus also is to save water, and particularly with cotton, where cotton is irrigated, we find that we save quite a lot of water. In Australia, that can be up to a megalitre per hectare, and a megalitre of water in Australia at the moment costs the farmer $200 to $300. So that's a really expensive input, and the more water we can save, the more money we save the farmer. In China, our aim also is to eliminate plastic. China uses about 2 million tonnes of agricultural plastic a year, and all of that goes to landfill or ends up in rivers, ends up just back in the soil, contaminating the soil. So it's a huge problem.
Some real solid information and good stuff there. Now, agriculture is and has always been a core industry to human existence. How is technology future-proofing this industry for next generations?
Well, I think there are two types of technology that we're talking about. In ag tech, I think a lot of people get mixed up. They sort of lump all ag tech in together. I would say there's what I would call traditional tech, software and data management, traditional technology and how that's applied to agriculture. And then there's practical technology, like the sort of thing that we do, which is having a direct effect on yields and crop growing and animal husbandry on the ground. So I think where those two interact is that traditional tech allows us to measure inputs and weather conditions and animal health and plant health really precisely in a way that we've never been able to do before. And practical tech creates the effects that we want to measure. So when we marry those two together, we've now got a situation where we can not only create really favourable conditions for agriculture, but we can measure the inputs and measure the effects really, really precisely. And that allows us to tailor the way that we grow animals and grow crops in a way that we've never been able to do before. So I think what that does is give us a long runway for producing more with less and being much, much more efficient in the way that we produce food globally in the future.
Now, Mr. Logan, looking at sustainability has become a much more prominent topic in recent years. However, the sentiment that sustainability does not drive profitability, do you believe this is true? What's your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's a common sentiment, isn't it? And it's one that we hear a lot, and sustainability is a real buzzword around agriculture and ag tech. I think that where the two sort of butt heads with each other, if you like, is sustainability is long-term and profit tends to be immediate. So what I think tends to happen, particularly in agriculture, is we turn a blind eye to sustainability until it really has an immediate effect on profit. And what we're seeing in China is a really good example. Sustainability in the use of plastic has just been fairly much ignored probably for the last 20 years. And it's only really starting to get noticed now that it's having a direct effect on profit. And it's having a direct effect on profit because there's so much plastic in the soil in some parts of China that it's directly affecting yields, which affects profit. So I think because profit is immediate, and sustainability tends to be long-term, we tend to look at profit only until it's affected by a lack of sustainability. So I think what we need to start doing is projecting further forward. When we're looking at sustainability, we need to start making forecasts, 5 and 10 years ahead, because we now have the technology and the ability to make those sort of forecasts quite accurately and measure profit that far into the future so that we can look at we can evaluate investments with their true effect long term. And that's how we're going to be able to start to measure sustainability.
Today we are visiting with Mr. Andrew Logan, the CEO of One Crop, a degradable biofilm company which aims to provide the technology to improve crop yield in an environmentally friendly way, here on the Green Business Podcast Show, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, impact investing is a hot topic in VC circles. However, we often see hype investing or phases, for example, VR, blockchain, food delivery, etc. What do you believe is the business potential for sustainable, eco-friendly businesses? And do you think impact investing will be a long-term strategy for investors here?
Well, I think generally it is a long-term strategy, in much the same way that sustainability is long-term. I think the trick for investors, and if I was giving investors a tip for what to look for, or entrepreneurs a tip on the sorts of industries they should try to get involved in, it's trying to look for something where sustainability has been ignored for a period of time, and then it's about to ramp up. I think the curve that we see with sustainability is a long period of flat line followed by a steep incline, a steep rise in urgency. And that's what we're seeing with plastic in China. So, if you've got into producing a substitute for plastic mulch film in China 10 years ago, you probably would have been ignored and you would have found, 5, 6, 7 years of frustration before it really started to become an issue. But if you were to invest in it right now, you'd find that China, the Chinese government and other influences in China are very heavily invested suddenly in looking for a solution. So it's really about, impact investing. And if you're looking for those short-term plays, you're looking for those moments where perhaps sustainability and impact has been ignored in a space for a long time, and getting in just before that steep ramp up in urgency. And, plastic in China is a good example.
For sure, good example there. Now, ag tech is often bundled into the broader tech realm. However, tech in this space is very different from SaaS models or consumer tech. What advice would you give to founders and potential investors looking to run or invest in ag tech startups?
Yeah, well, you know the old adage about real estate. You know, they say location, location, location. With ag tech, I would say seasonality, seasonality, seasonality. The thing about ag tech, and particularly practical ag tech like ours, where it has to operate on the ground in different countries, different continents, different climate conditions, is that you have to be prepared to test your tech in the environmental conditions that it's going to operate in, and you have to recognise that you're going to get one chance per year to do that in the season, and then you'll have to tweak it and wait until the next season to try it again. So whereas with software you can throw developers and money at an idea and develop it in, you know, 3 to 6 months and test it and you know, have various iterations of it and throw it at the market and get people to give you feedback, you can do that in a very short time frame because you're not beholden to the seasons. Whereas in ag tech, you have this seasonality, and it's absolutely unavoidable. You just have to be prepared to do that. So with a lot of practical ag tech, you might find that your development time frame is 2 to 3 years because you have one season, then you iterate again, and then you have another season, you iterate, and then you don't stabilise until perhaps the third iteration. So seasonality is just a huge impact. And for first-time investors in ag tech, a lot of them get caught because they're thinking in terms of software development, which might be, you know, 12 months at a very nice, stable, monthly recurring revenue with subscribers. And then what they find out they've invested in is something that has really steep peaks and troughs in revenue throughout the year and a long development cycle because of seasonality. So you really need to be aware of that as a founder when you're seeking funding, and you need to make it really clear to your investors that that's what they're buying into, and they have to take a long-term view.
Certainly some great advice there, and can't thank you enough for all the information and advice shared here today. In conclusion, any closing remarks on the future of ag tech?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in the industry, so of course I'm optimistic about it, but you know, what we're seeing in China particularly and Asia more generally is that there's an enormous emerging middle class, and there's a huge demand for more diverse types of food and more diverse types of other agricultural products. The countries themselves are under pressure to grow more, do more, produce more, and so there's a huge demand for ag tech to feed that appetite. So I really think that ag tech is probably the brightest looking sector that there is, because the demand is underpinned by such essential life requirements. You know, people need food, people need clothing. These are things that aren't luxuries, they're necessities, and ag tech exists to provide those things for growing populations. So I think whilst ag tech has been looking favourable probably for the last 5 years, and a lot of people have said it's the next big thing, I think you will see over the next 5 years that it really is the next big thing, and it'll be tremendously exciting times.
Well, Mr. Logan, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you, and we all here at EPN wish OneCrop and yourself nothing but the best. Where can listeners get further details online on OneCrop?
OneCrop.com.
Well, that's certainly easy enough. Again, Mr. Logan, it's been a pleasure to have had you. All the success, and certainly look forward to a future conversation right here on the Green Business Podcast Show.
Thanks, Eric. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
And I do as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Andrew Logan, the CEO of OneCrop, a degradable biofilm company which aims to provide the technology to improve crop yield in an environmentally friendly way. And again, all the details can be found at OneCrop.com. And again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to the Green Business Podcast Show, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location, as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.